Good morning, church. What a wonderful day God has given us. A warm fellowship, brothers and sisters in Christ who love one another, love the Lord. And we have the privilege to exalt Him who died for us and rose again on this His day, the Lord's day. And this morning we are talking about the subject, the holy will see God. The holy will see God. I was struck by a published report from the Barna Research Group. They found this, that Americans don't consider themselves to be holy. And in a survey of a number of Americans answered these questions. 73% said it's possible to become holy regardless of what is in your past. 50% of Americans said they knew someone that they would consider to be holy. And then about 21% considered themselves to be holy. And what was interesting then, they asked the same questions to a sampling of self-professed Christians in America. Not secular people, but Christians in America, what we might call church-going people. Interesting how this stacks up. So of the church-going people, 76% said that it is possible to become holy regardless of your past. 55% said they knew someone that they would describe as holy. And then 29% considered themselves to be holy. Those numbers are nearly identical, which tells me that by and large, most church-going folks and self-professed Christians don't think about holiness, don't recognize holiness, don't pursue holiness any more than people in the world around us. And that really ought not to be. This morning we're talking about the holy will see God. I want you to consider this. It's taught in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Or what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That word pure means undivided. There's nothing in your heart, nothing in your heart that might steal away your affection, your attention, your priorities, your commitment from God. And as we begin to discuss holiness this morning, and understand that the name of our God is Jehovah Makedesh, and the holy will see God, I'd like to give you a little story to kind of set the stage. We need to prepare our thinking a little bit. And the story is about a museum where there was priceless artifacts, works of art and furniture, but they were having a problem. And that is, people kept trying to touch the priceless artifacts and piece of furniture. I know you've never been tempted to do anything like that in a museum. So what did they do? They posted signs. And the sign said, "Do not touch." Do you think that stopped anybody from touching all the priceless work of art? No, it really didn't. They were having the same problems of people touching the priceless works of art and ruining them until one clever museum employee took down all of those "do not touch" signs and replaced them with these signs. "Caution, wash your hands after touching." And the problem resolved itself nearly overnight. Well, isn't that the way people are? You tell somebody "do not touch" and boy, somebody's going to touch. But if you warn people about potential costs and consequences of doing something, they may well police themselves. They may well make a better choice on their own. And to me, that is the challenge of learning about holiness in Scripture. What is our outlook and attitude toward this subject? Is our outlook on holiness that it means learning a whole long list of rules? Do not touch, do not touch, do not touch. And then you don't break the rules? Or is our outlook that holiness is actually costly for God to make us holy and ultimately beneficial to our well-being? That holiness in a sanctified life is for our greatest good, our greatest joy. How do you think about holiness? How do you think about it this morning? What is a holy life? Does that sound good to you? Does that sound like something you want? Or does it sound like a stagnant life? Learning a whole long list of rules of things not to do, and it's a list that people don't really care a whole lot about. Is holiness something that's just an academic Bible doctrine? It's good for a Sunday sermon, but come on, man, we gotta live. Well, what do you think about God? Is God a living God? Is He relevant to our daily life? What do you think about Jesus? Did he come to destroy our life and ruin it, or did he come to bring abundant living? What do you think about Jesus? I want to plant this seed this morning, that your understanding of holiness says a whole lot about your understanding of God. And your attitude toward holiness says a whole lot about your love for God. And I'll tell you what God says. The holy will see God. I'm very excited to share this lesson with you. You might want to follow along on page 3 of the program. There's an interactive outline. We can study the word together, take some notes. I'll be at the back of the auditorium after services. I'll talk to you about any of the things that we discuss. And I encourage those kinds of discussions. I really do. But if we're ready, I want to open up our Bible. I want to go to the Word of God. And I want to learn about Jehovah Makedesh, our God. The holy will see God. Number one in the notes, making holy the name of God. This morning as we study together, we want to learn something about God our Father. We want to learn something about Jesus our Lord. We want to learn something about ourselves. And the first is this, the name of God is making holy. We've been learning all month about different names that Scripture reveals for our God. And we talked last week about Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah Jireh. We've learned about Adonai and Elohim. We've talked about Jehovah itself, Yahweh itself. This morning we want to talk about Jehovah Makedesh. It's found in Leviticus chapter 20 in verses 7 and 8, where God is revealing himself to his people, the Israelites. The scripture says in that place, consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. And that expression in the English, the Lord who makes you holy, it is this name. I am Jehovah Makedesh. And if you're reading from the New King James this morning, it says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. If you're reading the ESV, the Lord who sanctifies you. The NIV, the Lord who makes you holy. And sanctified or holy, it means simply this, set apart, separated, consecrated for God's purposes, God's work. It is the idea of purity, no doubt, but it is more than the idea of purity. It is a purity then when one is invested into the service of God, preparation and potentially and serving rather our God. And I'll tell you, only God can make us holy. That's his name. He is the Lord who sanctifies. Only God can do that. This name tells us things about God, wonderful things about God. First, that God himself is holy. We're going to see this in many ways. This word Kadesh, Makedesh, or some form of it, appears some 700 times in the Old Testament. You read about it in words like consecrate, sanctuary, hallow, sanctify, of course, holy and holy one. And setting apart is common to it all. Set apart is really who our God is. And set apart is what our God desires for his people. God is set apart. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35, the law of Moses. To you it was shown, said to the Israelites, that you might know that the Lord himself is God. And there is none other besides him. He is apart from all else. He is above all else. He is holy and he sanctifies. In Isaiah's vision, Isaiah 44 and verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. He is set apart, he is above. There are no competitors to him. And Isaiah is called a prophethood in Isaiah 6 and verse 3. We'll see that his holy perfection is recognized even by angelic beings. The seraphim are around him. And notice this in Isaiah 6 and verse 3. Above it stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Two of those wings are there just to cover up the eyes. Their eyes must be shielded from the bright light of his holiness. He's like nothing else. God is set apart from the idols and the heathen gods that populated the ancient religions of the land of Canaan. In Psalm 96 verses 4 and 5, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Even in the immediate context for this name of Jehovah Makedesh in Leviticus 20 verses 1 through 6, there's all of this teaching about don't serve Molech. Don't worship these gods of the Canaanites. It is to show how God is different from idols and the pagan deities that Israel would be meeting soon in Canaan land. He is set apart. He is holy. He is nothing like this. The prophet Jeremiah 16 and verse 20. Will a man make gods for himself which are not gods? Or Exodus 20 and verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. And the Ten Commandments. That's really one of the things that made idolatry so terrible. They were trading the true and holy God for nothing. For rock. For wood that they had carved. For some stories that they had made up. And these gods were childish and they were warring. They were fickle and they were immoral. The worship of these gods was often in the form of unspeakable crimes and wickedness, sexual immorality, and even killing children. The worship of that god Molech in Exodus 20, that's about passing children through the fire. It was horrible. And God cannot bear to watch iniquity. This evil is no worship to a holy God. It is wickedness requiring a judgment from a holy God. The Lord our God is holy. This is the first great lesson that Israel would learn. It is His name, Jehovah Makedesh. And holiness is important to understanding our God today. His name is Jehovah Makedesh. I want to read to you, it's something so important. I really want you to listen. I want to read to you the statement made by an old Scottish preacher, but it's about the holiness of God. Here it is. The holiness of God is the balance of all the attributes of deity. Power without holiness would degenerate into cruelty. Omniscience without holiness would become craft. Justice without holiness would degenerate into revenge. And goodness without holiness would be passionate and intemperate fondness, doing mischief rather than accomplishing good. God is holy, Jehovah Makedesh, and He makes you holy. This is His name. And we begin to see the outworkings of this God as He dealt with His Old Testament people of Israel. They were a set apart people. Israel was set apart, separated from the Egyptians. God delivered them from their slavery. He made them a nation. He led them to the promised land of Canaan. He insisted upon a separation of His covenant people from all those pagan peoples in Canaan. They were to be holy. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And that holiness began to take form and take shape. How so? Well, He set them apart in their worship. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse number 3. We read the account there of Aaron's two boys, Nadab and Abihu, offering a profane worship to God. How was it profane? Well, they offered a strange fire. They did not get the fire from the place that God had commanded them. They got fire from some other place. And as they burned their incense, the fire rose up off the censers and burned them alive. What is Aaron to do? His sons have been burned alive in the middle of worship. Well, the word came to Moses what he was to do. He was not to mourn, for he was instructed by God through Moses. Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. You see, when they profaned the worship of God, they had made it something different, something other than what He had directed. This was not holy. This was not respecting Him as holy. He must be holy. He says, and before all the people, I must be glorified. I want you to think about this. Worship is different from any other experience in society. And it ought to be. When people have an idea today that worship ought to be remade into things perhaps not authorized in Scripture, but said to be more relevant to the world around us, things that everyone understands in the world around us, we begin to sacrifice the holiness of God. And this must not be sacrificed. They were set in part of worship. We will see that God's people, His church, are set apart for worship. This has to do with His identity. He is holy. Israel was set apart. They must set God apart in their heart. Even their hearts were to be changed and different. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13, the Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. There's that word hallow. It's another example of our word of Kodesh or some form of it. Think of the Lord's Prayer when Jesus taught us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." What are we saying there? What are we praying there that echoes these words of Isaiah? We are saying, "Holy is your name. Set apart is your name. You are like nothing else, and we are dedicated to you in our hearts. High, holy, and sanctified is the name of God." And the old covenant signs of separation. We might be able to make a good list of those. I know we've got some great Bible students in the room. In Leviticus chapter 20, where this name appears at the end of the chapter, verses 24 through 26, there's a reiteration of the dietary laws. That there's clean food and there's unclean food. And you got to eat the clean food so you will be holy. But we could talk about things like they weren't to intermarry with the pagan peoples, the clothing laws, worship laws, circumcision is a sign. All of this were signs of separation. They were the holy people of God because God is holy. That really begs us to circle back around to this name one more time in Leviticus 20 verses 7 and 8, where the Israelites are told, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy. Because I'm the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord your God who makes you holy." Just as his name is Jehovah Makedesh, just as he is the God who is holy and who makes holy, I want you to see that he calls upon his people. It was Israel of old. It's the church today. But he calls upon his people to make a choice to consecrate themselves, to be holy. We have to want holiness. We have to pursue holiness. There has to be a willingness on our part to sanctify ourselves. That's what Israel's called to. Sanctify, or consecrate yourselves. Be holy. They had to choose to do it. When we read about Israel in the Old Testament, what we find is this marvelous collection in the inspired account in the Bible of the triumphs and the failures of God's people who either made choices to be holy or choices to profane God. But understand this, his name is Jehovah Makedesh, and who Jehovah was to Israel in the Old Testament, the one who was holy and made them holy, that's who the Lord Jesus Christ is in the New Testament. Jesus is the Holy One of God. He makes his church holy. Let's talk about Jesus for a moment. Number two in your notes, Holy Christ, Holy Church. What we have in the Old Testament is God selecting this nation, the Israelites, that he might make himself known through and bring about a deliverer, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Holy Christ. In the New Testament, we have the fulfillment of this as we begin to watch Jesus and learn from Jesus. What we see in Jesus is his own holiness, personal holiness, testified to in such passages as Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as are we, yet without sin. No sin or evil has marred him, has encroached upon his quality, his character, his purity, his holiness. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 16, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." Jesus is sinless. He is pure. Why? Because this Holy One had a work to make all people holy, to create a sanctified people known in the Bible as his church. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. "By that will, we Christians, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." In verse 14, "For by one offering he offered himself, for by one offering he is perfected forever those who are being sanctified, those who are being set apart." In the Old Testament, we have Jehovah Makedesh. He delivered Israel from that earthly slavery of Egypt. He bade them of people. He taught them his ways. He redeems them. In the New Testament, we are given Jesus Christ, who sanctifies people, not just those who are physical descendants of Abraham, but people from every tribe, tongue, nationality, the world over. And he redeems them by his blood, a blood shed at Calvary, a death paid for our sins, for your sins and for my sins. And so that when we respond to this offer of forgiveness, new life, holiness, to become part of God's people, when we confess our faith that he is the Son of God, and we are baptized into Jesus Christ, those sins are washed away and we are redeemed. In fact, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 teaches us that the Lord adds to His church those who are being saved. When we believe and are baptized in order to be saved, He is adding us to His church, His people. And what I'm saying is, Holy Christ, Holy Church, Holy people. That's what the church is. It's not about bricks and mortar. I mean, there's church buildings and there are meeting houses. I get all that. But the church is the people of God today in Christ. A sanctified people. Look at how God, through Jesus, speaks to this church and this people. He uses some of the same words that we find in the Old Testament. That Christians are to be holy today. Just like that was the ideal. That was the hope for Israel of old. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, the scripture says, as obedient children, Christians, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And I showed you this morning where it was written. Where's in Leviticus. Yeah, it was written there. And this is the desire, because this is our God, a holy and great God. Or notice this in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is what His church is. This is what He's made you when you became a Christian. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but you're now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. This church is the holy people of God. And from the moment of our conversion to Christianity, we have been placed in this special nation, set apart, cleansed and forgiven of what's behind us, taught about what we are to do and to serve our God. Truly, sanctification, a sanctifying people, to be set apart, is achieved by this word of truth, this instruction from God found through Jesus, through the apostles in the gospel. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. And when we obey the word of God, we shall be holy. When we obey the word of God, we will be different from the world. And when we obey the word of God, we will be like Jesus. Jesus, who is our perfect example. And that's what's so scary. Because we got to be different than how we've practiced in before, what we've done in the past, the way we've thought about things. It's all to change. Change into God's way, God's pattern, God's mold, which is a way of holiness. And there's a blessing here, because our position in Christ allows us to be partakers of a divine nature. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, that includes holiness. But our Lord is holy. And His people are holy. We're to be holy people. So an Old Testament name for God is Jehovah Makedesh, He who sanctifies. We've learned that today in the New Testament it is Jesus. He was the Holy One who sanctifies God's people, His church. Where does that leave us? Let's learn something about ourselves. And it's number three, that the holy will see God. And unlike Israel of old, who finally gave up pursuing God and this holy God, we need to choose to pursue holiness. I want to encourage the church and encourage you to pursue holiness. It is holiness that is an answer to a church when it becomes corrupted by worldliness. A church that may think or talk or act or dress just like the world around it. We must remember who we are day in and day out. The holy people of God. You are holy. Your God is holy. Your Lord is holy. Be holy. Be holy. The New Testament is full of exhortations to personal holiness. And I would love to share these with you. In fact, if you have a Bible with you, I know I've put it all on the screen, but I'd love for you to follow along in your Bible. And if you have that pen where you've been taking notes, there's two words I want you to write in a few scriptures. I mean, if you don't want to write in your Bible, I'm not going to twist in your arms. I'm not going to check Bibles afterwards. But if you write in your Bible, you might write these words. Here's the first one. All right? In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can write, be holy, next to those two verses. That's really what it is, isn't it? An exhortation to remember who God is, and then He calls us to holiness. And I want you to notice this with it, that holiness is action. It's not inaction. Present yourselves as what? A living sacrifice. If our idea of holiness means we stop living, means we got to be bottled up and cloistered away from the world around us, then we've missed it. We are to live. Holiness is not about all the things we do not do. It is about the service we do for God. There's the holiness, set apart to serve and live for Him. Let me give you a second one. We were washed, we were sanctified, and this one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Rhetorical questions for Christians, but hear it. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Be holy. We may have learned a little while ago that only 75% of Americans think it's possible to be holy regardless of your past. But 100% of Christians are living testament to the truth that you can be holy regardless of what's going on in your past. That's the gospel. We are sanctified. Such were some of you. And so we write, be holy there by that. As a new man in Christ, a man created in holiness. This is Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. The wonderful news of recreation in the gospel or by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we read there that you put on a new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Be holy. He makes you holy. Be holy. Along with that, we see that these holy people, they are active. They are active in service to God, created to do good works for the glory of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You're right next to that, be holy. Don't do evil works. Don't be involved in the evil works, but God has made you and sanctified you to do good works. And of course, where we began was Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. To pursue holiness. That means be holy. Be holy for He is holy. His name is Jehovah Makedesh. He makes holy. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. The holy will see God. What's your heart? What's your heart this morning? Do you want to be holy? I want to be holy. Do you want to see God? I want to see God. And if that's your heart, that's your desire, then let me tell you about the hope that you have in the Lord and in this good God who shares with us the destiny of His people. The destiny of the church is to see God. In fact, the church's glorious destiny is to be presented to God spotless, without blemish. The picture of holiness of a bride in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. That bride in her wedding gown on her wedding day. And the will of God is that we shall be like Jesus when He appears. And so we are taught in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 to purify ourselves now that we should be like Him when He appears. People wonder all the time, what is God's will for my life? What am I supposed to be doing here until Jesus come? God's will for you in the Bible is your sanctification, your holiness. To be holy because He's holy. He's going to make you holy and teach you holiness, and you pursue that. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3, this is the will of God, your sanctification. How long? Until Jesus comes. Holy living until Jesus comes. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, set you apart. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless, holy, pure, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The holy will see God. His name is Jehovah Makedesh. He makes holy, that we might be holy, to live holy and pursue holiness, to see him. The holy will see God, and it is his will for us. I appreciate your good attention, taking those notes, and maybe you wrote down some exhortations there in your Bible. That'd be a blessing also. If you want to put that away now, we're going to have a little more song worship. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Well, what if someone asked you, is it possible to be holy regardless of the past? The gospel says yes. Not only is it possible, but that's the good news. That's what it does. You know the answer to that one. Well, what if someone asked you, do you know someone that you would describe as holy? Maybe we scratch our heads a little bit on that and say, well, I don't know. I'm not supposed to judge people's hearts. I'm not supposed to say. Do you know Christians that are pursuing holiness? The Bible calls them saints, set apart people. If you're involved in the local church, you know people that you can describe as holy people. Well, would you describe yourself as holy? That was the third question. Would you? I'll tell you this, you can't make yourself holy, but God can and does through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And having forgiven your sins and created you as something new, he teaches you to live holy by his word that will set you apart and make you different than the world around you. And he gives you hope and a vision for what this holiness means. You will see God. You'll be with him in heaven forever. That's the destiny of his church. So do you describe yourself as holy? Well, have you been obedient to the gospel of Jesus? I'd love nothing more this morning than to take someone's confession and to baptize them for the remission of their sins, that God would make them holy. And we could all see it here together before we leave. Be glorious. Or to minister to any spiritual need for the saint who said, I am a child of God. But pursuing holiness? Oh, I have not. Calling him Jehovah Makedesh? Not with a straight face. If you're ready to recommit your life, we'd love to pray for you and encourage you, however that may need to be. Whatever your spiritual need is, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing.